that would log them, send them out to the OESs to be verified, and then on receiving a yes or no answer, at least for most of the balloting period, would mail out the replacement ballots. And towards the end, maybe a certain quantity would go to the local stations, to the OESs, so they could, you know, deal with things the last couple nights when there's no time to mail. But in general, for the majority of the ballot period, they would mail out the replacement ballots from one central place.
Okay. Does that sound good, everybody? Think you can write all that down for us, Tracy?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Okay. Again, this is a recommendation. We can massage it later, too, when we get back to the whole committee. Okay.
Okay. What's your next section?
Okay, next one. This is, it relates to electronic voting again. Post on the number 7. Post on the Pacifica website an interactive voting page with instructions so voters can enter their valid ID numbers to access one of 10 different electronic ballots to cast their votes electronically. So I guess we won't be doing that this year anyway.
No.
Agree on. Okay. Possibly later. Okay, number 8. This is also electronic voting. Convert the accepted electronic ballot to align in a text ballot file for input to the Tally program. That's the Choice Plus Pro that is used for the Pacific elections. So that wouldn't apply this year either, I guess, if we're not doing electronic ballots. And then number 8, similarly, integrate ballot files derived from paper ballots with files created by online voting.
Again,
So
next,
we assume
later.
All of those would be later.
Yeah.
Okay, not this year. Okay. Number 10. This is something, again, I think we didn't decide whether the NES should do it or have some vendor who's doing the counting, perhaps. Create and save all the ballot files, parentheses, separately grouped for the 10 elections, close parentheses, that will be tallied. If these files are not in CP Pro format, create and save for distribution to Pacifica equivalent text files in CP Pro format with distinct and clearly identified file names to facilitate spot checks and for quality control verification. This basically means create files that are compatible with the software we use so that we can verify them even if they use some other software to do the counting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if we're going to be doing the counting, or if the NES is going to be doing the counting, it's kind of moot. But if we want to have an election vendor actually processing the ballots and counting them, then we probably want this. So
I think the answer to the question depends on the other parts that are linked to it.
Okay. Okay. Let's write that down too.
Right.
Okay, 11. Prevent ballot stuffing, verify valid ballots. This was especially applicable to electronic voting, but not necessarily. That would also take care of, or it relates to the part of, like Tracy was talking about, invalidating original ballot sent to someone if they later requested a replacement ballot.
Part of that is basically the replacement process. Part of that is the counting process. It seems kind of like divided up between those two chunks of work.
Yeah, and one of the issues here, for example, that came up in this last election, you'd think we'd learn after going through this so many times, but at KPFA in this last election, I believe it was for the listener election, there were a number of ballots where the incorrect barcode was printed on them. Do you remember that, Tracy?
It was all of the ballots. There were
Urbani,
no
barcodes.
They were Memphis numbers.
Okay, right. So the mailing house or whoever printed the ballots apparently used the wrong column in the spreadsheet or database or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so that made it, at first pass, it made it impossible to verify the ballots. Is that correct, Bonnie?
It was what you call a god-awful mess.
And so they had to go through each one by person
combined with the fact that they hadn't tested the scanning equipment or had the computer program completely up to snuff when they began to count ballots, involved our ballot counting process stretching to several weeks each night with listeners sitting on opposite sides of the table, depending upon which side of the argument they may have been on, arguing about what was the proper mark on each of the pages and recopying hundreds and hundreds of ballots. So, I don't know. You know, it just must be me, but I'm sort of stunned that we continue to just build up the mistakes every year.
Yeah, the Ink Works problem was a drag. They were a new vendor that was used this year, and it did have to do with, you know, supervision of the vendors, which gets tough when you're rushing around. So it does seem to me that the part that we're looking at contracting out, which involves the layout and printing work, might benefit from one unified person or entity supervising it.
It seemed to me that you might want to consider also having all the counting of the ballots and everything that goes along with that also parceled out.
Well,
there was no good example of what can possibly happen. I mean, that was a mockery at KPFA. And I think if you couple that with the fact that in New York they sent upwards of 15,000 ballots to the wrong people.
Well, we talked about the database stuff, ongoing problem.
Okay, well, Bonnie, you were suggesting maybe combining, have one contractor do both the layout of the ballot, printing them, mailing them, and counting them. That way they make sure that they're responsible making all that those things work together.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, well, let me ask a question for everybody. And traditionally, we've had, sort of in the interest of transparency, having the NES go to each station, and you know, the ballots would all be counted in front of anybody who wants to watch. But that's led to some problems like this, and also more expense. If we had all the ballots sent to one central location, which is about the way every other nonprofit organization that I know of does it, and if we trust that company, I guess, to do it, could we let them do the counting?
Yeah, I think you said if we trust, you know, I think there's, because there have been so many mess-ups, people don't trust at all.
Uh-huh.
I mean, my feeling about the counting is if the other parts of the process work, which include the printing and the setting up and the laying up of the ballots and having databases that are functional, which we don't have, then the counting really isn't the hard part of it. It's very simple. You scan stuff, you throw it into Choice Plus Pro, and it's done. The fact that it doesn't work for us in a simple way relates to other problems, which we've talked about. It's not the counting, per se, that's the hard part. So my sense of it is you can contract out the counting or not, but in terms of a problem-solving type scenario, it's not the part of it where we're screwing up.
Right. Yeah, I see what you're saying, because there were so many other things that went wrong that by the time the day of the counting, we didn't trust anybody.
Well, that's not any different all 6 years. Oh, that's not true. There were a couple of years that were actually better at the beginning.
Well, Les learned last year, you know, how important it is to have the ballot design where it's easy to scan and recognize automatically. But, you know, whoever's NES next year might have to learn that all over again.
Well, you know, hopefully not. Hopefully we have some continuity from year to year. I mean, it's kind of dopey not to, but...
Well, how many elections have we had now?
I know what you're saying. The learning curve. Oh, well.
Okay. Other comments, anybody? Do we want to suggest the layout and printing, at least, of the ballots contracted out? I guess it's the layout part. I mean, the printing already is contracted to... I guess the printing's one company, the mailing's another company. But I think Les did the layout for the last one.
Yeah, I don't think that's ideal. I don't think you want your NES doing the layout, and I don't think there's any reason for that. And I do think that it creates time pressures. And a unified layout printing mailing thing makes sense. And I think that's a chunk of work that somebody could get their head around. you know, as in as a discrete piece.
Okay, so combine the ballot layout, printing, and mailing as one contract.
What happened to counting?
I'm not putting the counting in there at the moment. I mean, you know, we can talk about it some more, but I'm not inclined to think that's particularly difficult if it's, if the other problems are addressed.
Went so well at KPFA last year.
Oh, Bonnie,
you had a problem with printing. I mean, you know, you had a problem with the layout of the ballots and the printing. It wasn't done right.
After problem after problem, Tracy.
Remember there was another problem with the return address? Do you remember that, Bonnie?
Yes, and they had the wrong return address somewhere else, and we had no barcodes, and there were countless discussions and battles, and that was a mockery of an election to see people sitting around for 14 hours at a crack copying over ballots.
It was a printing and a layout problem.
No, it was the scanner. It had nothing to do with the printing and layout that they were copying over ballots.
They were copying over ballots because the way that the ballots were laid out didn't work with the scanner.
And also because the scanner was picking up every piece of dust and recording it as a mark-off on the page.
Yeah, well, I do know that Les said that the KPFA was sort of the test case because they were the first to use that new software. Les got the software developer that did that to fix those problems, apparently, before we did the other elections. So I think I don't think any of the others had that problem. Although there could have been improvements for the ballot layout. The problem was with the really long ballots, the individual squares were so small that if it wasn't aligned exactly right in the scanner and the page went through at a slight angle, then it might not recognize correctly which square the mark was in.
Right, there were so many candidates running that they shrunk up the little boxes.
There's technical fixes for that, but it has to be implemented. So, okay, so are we recommending that they at least combine the ballot layout, printing, and mailing as one contract?
And do they? Well, that's not important.
Not hearing anything. Any objections to that? Okay. Guess we'll proceed with that. Okay. Okay. Next, number 12 on the RFP. Verify that quorum, parenthesis 10% of listener member roles, has been achieved at each region by appropriate deadlines. And then the reason for this is that you have to wait on the ballot counting, of course, until we get quorum. And then if there's not quorum, then a decision needs to be made on whether to extend the deadline or something.
Right.
Or if you can check that before the deadline date, you could pump up the extra announcements on air to get your ballots in.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds to me like NES, LES stuff.
Yeah, now there's also been technical problems with this, too, because if the listener and staff election ballots are in, if the envelopes look identical, you can't tell if you have quorum for them. Now, Les figured that out. He took care of that, I think. But that's been a problem in some of the previous elections.
Okay. Well, don't you solve that with slightly different colored envelopes?
Yeah, you should.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's
the mailing needs to know that. See.
That's our acquired wisdom issue. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, hopefully that dummies guide to elections thing that they're writing will solve some of that.
Right, and he says he is working on that still.
Good.
Okay. 13. Perform 10 accurate STV tallies with observers for a total of 10 elections, parenthesis 2 per region. The observers will be selected by station management and or the local station boards. So is this something we'll still have the NES and LESs do?
Well, I mean, that's basically, that's part of the counting. I mean, a lot of these tasks aren't, they're connected to each other. So if that's what we think part of the counting process is, then whoever is responsible for doing the counting gets that piece.
Well, the question for now is that something we'd want to be done again, at each station separately. It sounds like that's what we want to do.
Well, why is that in the RFP? I'm just asking. I mean, you know, it's not that it's not good to test, but 10 of them with observers is kind of onerous.
Well, that's staff plus listeners at each city. The alternative, see, the reason we put it in there is to force them to do the counting in each city. Now, I don't think the bylaws say you have to do it that way. And again, most nonprofits have an election vendor mail all of the ballots back to one central location, even if they have different regions. And then they're all counted at one place, probably without observers.
Yes.
So that's probably the easiest way if you contract out the counting part. That's easier. That's the easiest thing and possibly the least expensive way, but that may not be what we want.
Yeah, I think it depends. I mean, it does depend what people want, and the issue of money relates to, are we going to save money down in our printing scenario, and are we going to save money with online voting? Are we going to save money by not doing the counts in 5 cities? I mean, some of these things are going to have to happen, I think. Whether all of them happen, I don't know. I think it's nice to go to each city and do 10 accurate STV tallies with observers. It certainly is going to make people feel better about the process.
Yeah.
But, you know, can we afford it and is a priority?
It's easier to get volunteers to help if you need that too. Okay, was anybody in favor of trying to consolidate them, or shall we just try to leave them the way they've been doing and being counted in each city?
Can we at this point see how much more it will cost to count in each city, and then maybe if it sounds really prohibitive compared to all the other overall costs, maybe we should, you know, maybe then we can reconsider that?
Okay. Part of it has to do with whether we have an election vendor do the counting.
Right.
Okay. Well, not to go out of order with the RFP, maybe we should just move to, should we have a vendor do the counting or not?
Okay.
I'm just thinking because it sounds like we're dealing with 4 or 5 steps that relate to counting.
Yeah.
And we can't really answer the question unless we know which way we're going there.
What do you suggest? Or anybody want to make a suggestion?
I suggest that the vendor do the counting.
Is that Dan?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I know that for purposes of verification, when we used True Ballot at WBAI a couple of years ago, they were able to provide us with a CD that included images of all the ballots, as well as the rank order counting round by round, so that if there's any candidate or member who wanted to, on his or her own, verify the process, a report would be created that would allow that to be done. So you have both the convenience and ease of having a vendor do it, which is probably one of the things they're best able to do, and secondly, you have means for verification by anyone who is suspicious or unhappy with the results.
Okay. Comments, anybody?
It would seem be kind of pointless if you're going with a vendor to have them not do the counting, because then how can they be responsible for the end product?
That's the point.
Yeah, I think the only sort of counter-argument that I can come up with is the fact Pacifica spent a heck of a lot of money, I think, creating its own counting software. I mean, that's my understanding, that we now own, that was sort of custom-built for us. And if we don't use it, then really, what was the point? I mean, I guess that just strikes me as we went many, many steps in the opposite direction already. And there is a sort of lack of cost effectiveness to it. My understanding is that all of the programs generate the CD with the files and the pictures of all the ballots. I mean, I don't think a vendor provides that and a non-vendor doesn't provide that. I mean, we get that either way. I'm not opposed. I think you will get some paranoia from people that can't see it, and you have to take that into account. But there's questions of, how many thousands are you in for your own counting software that you're apparently never going to use again? And does that make a whole lot of sense?
Did you ever find that computer key?
What was that?
Did you ever find that computer key?
No, in fact, let me update. Was that Bonnie?
Yeah.
What happened last year was, again, let me give a little background process. Okay, the ballots come in. They have to be scanned first and converted into essentially a digital picture, an image file. And then that's kind of standard software. That would come with a scanner, convert it into a JPEG or something like that. Okay, then it has to run through another program, which in the past was a proprietary program written by this guy named Ilya that looked at the scanned images, decided which boxes had marks in them, and then produced a text file that would go into this other program called Choice Plus Pro that would actually do the STV counting.
Mm-hmm.
And that the I forget the name of the program, but the one that did the image processing on the scanned images, apparently we had a license that had expired, and it also had there was a hardware key you had to plug into the computer that had been lost. And so we were going to have to buy at several thousand dollars, I don't remember how it was, going to be $10,000 or something, another license for it. And Les basically decided this was crazy, especially if we had to keep doing that every few years, even if we didn't lose the key. So he got another, and it also had bugs in it. it was terribly right. Finicky about the way it operated. So he got another software developer to write us a custom program that would do that, that we own the rights to. We own the program, and it's also open source software, so it could be maintained by somebody else. So now we have that. Now, that could also be provided to any election vendor if we wanted to, and in fact, the ones that we got bids from, I think they all said they would probably use, or maybe one of them didn't, but most of them said they would use Choice Plus Pro, which is the actual STV counting software that we have been using also.
So they would use our software to count our ballots. Okay.
We could do that if we wanted to, and that would make sense. So otherwise, they'll probably charge us for coming up with something.
That's what I'm thinking.
So it might not be a waste of money.
Well, that makes more sense. Yeah,
we'd have to check with Les, but I think that's great.
I think that may be problematic depending on the vendor. I think one of the things that, at least when I was looking into this, that vendors have to offer is their own software. They have programs for developing ballots and counting ballots and so on, and I'm not sure how generic that all is.
Okay, that's a point.
But do they have...
And I'm not sure that there would be any savings if we asked them to use our software. In fact, it might cost more to adapt our software to their technology.
And are you saying that even given that we have the special voting method?
STV?
Yes.
They all do that.
Yeah, I mean, at least from my experience, that's not a problem for the vendors.
Oh, it's not? Okay.
When we use this True Ballot group, they had it all together. In fact, their biggest problem, I believe, was translating our ballots into a format that was compatible with their software. So if they conducted the election, they would develop the ballots and then obviously have the software to count them.
So we could make the software, the custom software Les had available to them if they wanted to use it, but not require that. Is that what you're
that
saying?
Makes sense.
Okay. So again, the question still is, do we want to say it's okay to have a vendor and let them do all the counting in one place where essentially nobody would be able to see them do it?
Is there any reason not to have observers be present at the county?
They'd have to travel to wherever the vendor is.
That would be prohibitive.
But didn't some of the our applicants last year say they would do each count in the respective city?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we put that as a requirement.
Mm-hmm. So we could do that again?
Yeah.
What type of count in the respective cities? I didn't hear that.
Oh, the ballot counting, for example, the ballot counting for T is done in Houston. The ballot counting for K is done in L.A., so people can come and see it.
Oh, you're having the vendor do it in the separate cities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, my guess would be, at least for the short term, that people expect it, and that if you abruptly change that, you get a lot of grief.
Yeah, because people aren't, it's going to be a couple years of doing it, the election process, well before people really buy into the fairness of it.
So I'd suspect if you are going to shop out the counting, that you would stick with the in every city scenario, at least for the immediate future.
Okay, is that agreeable to everybody? Okay, so that might eliminate one reason for contracting out the counting part. Although it might still be helpful, I don't know.
No.
Okay, so we'll still have the counting done in each city.
Yeah, I think that's what people expect and would want.
I think that's good. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Dan, you were suggesting that we still have one vendor do the counting, though. Would that still make sense to you?
Oh, definitely. Yes.
Yeah.
So have a vendor, but have them come to each city.
Well, I think that's going to make it will meet people's expectations for how the process should work.
Okay.
I agree with Dan.
All right.
Excuse me, group. Sign off right now.
Okay.
This is Renee Bowser. I'm going to sign off. Thank you.
Okay.
Good night.
It's Renee.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Okay, let's see, next item on the list on the RFP was scan the validated paper ballots, converting each one into a ballot image file, which is usually a TIFF file, then using commercial or your own software, which we just talked about, convert each image file into whatever form your tally program requires. And if you're not using CP Pro as a tally program, each image file must be converted into essentially a CP-compatible file. So that kind of goes along with the what we just talked about. If we use a vendor to do the counting, then they need to, and if they decide to use different software, they need to provide us with a file that's compatible with the software we have so we can verify it. So should we keep that in there?
It's part of counting. I mean,
yeah, if we contract out the counting part.
Right.
Okay. Okay, 15, copy ballot files to appropriate folders to be referenced individually by file name in the tally software configuration file, e.g. cppros.in file. So that's just to make sure they'll provide us, organize the files where we can find them in a way that we can access them.
Yeah.
So that kind of goes along with 14. Okay, then 16, and this is something we haven't gotten to that from last election, distribute CDR disks with images, derived ballot, and the configuration files and round-by-round results to the five LESs, general managers, and chairs of the LSBs.
Really? You haven't gotten that? Because we got all that out in the election I did.
Les said he had it to the LESs, but I don't think anybody else has it.
Yeah, no, we actually had it up on the KPFA website for quite a while. All those files.
Anybody else from any of the other stations seeing that? I know we didn't. Les has said he would provide that, but it hasn't happened yet. Okay. So this is something either the NES or the election vendor, I guess whoever does the counting, needs to do.
I think that's part of the count. Yeah, it's part of the report back on the count.
Whoever it is the counting needs to be number 16. Let's see. And then number 17, certify the election results.
I think that you would have your NES do after reviewing all the files.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's okay. Your extra phase of, that's your extra part of verification.
Yeah. Okay, what's all of the RFP? Do you want to go back and review any of these things, or go over what we sort of decided we'd consider contracting out? Let me look over my notes, and then Tracy, maybe you can help me. Let's see. Let's see. Maybe get some help on list cleanup. This is 1B. Not sure about contracting it or just getting the alias to some help.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that will be done beforehand, though. Okay, design, print, and mail the ballots, number 3. We decided to maybe consolidate that all into one contract.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? Anybody speak up if you have comments on any of these. Number 4, we agreed we'd want to, we could put all the election information up on one website and also include replacement ballot requests also on that same website and also have a toll-free phone number.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then I guess we could, we want to let, I guess we can make a recommendation that either our Pacifica technical staff like Otis could do this, or Darlene could get somebody else, or the NES could do somebody else if it's too much for him to do this. Especially with the phone thing, I don't know. Somebody's if we're having a toll free phone number, somebody's got to take care of that.
Yeah.
But it needs to be integrated in with the replacement ballot request somehow. So we need to think about how the phone thing would work, even if everything else is on Pacifica.org.
I'm trying to find last year's files on Pacifica.org. Are they there?
Yes.
Oh, wait.
Let me see.
2009 election, LSB election results. Okay.
And I think the individual candidate statements are there too. So I don't believe there's a link anymore there.
No, there's not much up here. All it lists is the people that won. It doesn't even list alternates.
Right. Yeah, that's the kind of thing it's lacking, see?
I don't know. Well, I mean, the year that I did it, we had all that stuff up in kind of exhaustive detail. So I don't know.
Okay, well, everybody understands why we need that, right? I mean, for example, we've already had 2 people resign from our LSB since the election. So you need to know who the runners-up are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one reason you need that. Now the candidates got that information, got the STSD results, but that wasn't public.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily what you count on now.
Yeah. Okay. So we want to put election information up on one website. Or hold on a second. And so, and also then have a replacement ballot request there and have a toll-free number that people can call and I guess have a vendor handle the operation of that telephone.
Yeah, I think so.
And then integrate that replacement ballot request in some sort of database that's trackable with the online requests.
Yeah, I think that's probably what you need. You need to have some sort of an ability to go back and check what was done when.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure I'm quite following here. Are you saying that all the information as you're doing the election is going to all emanate from Pacifica.org?
What we're talking about is trying to consolidate all the election-related stuff on one place. Like all the candidate information was on Pacifica.org for this last election.
Right.
And The problem was maintaining and keeping up to date and accurate the five separate station websites, because that just didn't seem to be feasible. And it's more work.
Huh.
And we're talking about expanding that and also providing a way for people to ask for replacement ballots online and then have a
crew to be counting on this being done on Pacifica.org, don't you think? And for instance, there's nothing on the front page of Pacifica.org newer than last October, and a listing of letters to Washington from December 2009.
Good point.
Sure. That this would be the most efficient way to do this?
Comments, anybody?
Well, Bill, you're telling me that John is up for it and saying that he can do it. I mean, I'm not inclined to question that assessment if he says that he will do it and can do it. If there's a capacity question there, then that may be something that you have to invest in terms of getting some support for him. I mean, it would be nice if Pacifica.org could do that and lots of other things it should be able to. You have to get the work up on the web somehow, and if you're not having it done through Pacifica.org, then you're having it done through the station webmasters, who you're paying anyway, in five different cities. So either way, you're kind of spending the money. I think, you know, having something centralized that people can get to from the stations with good links makes as much sense as anything else. Otherwise, you're replicating a whole bunch of work. Because you can put a lot of general stuff up in one place and not have five different webmasters putting up the same stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Let me just respond to what Bonnie was saying. Yeah, I agree. We don't have enough staff to keep everything up to date on Pacifica.org. There's a lot of out-of-date things. But I know during the elections, that part was kept up to date. And it was up to date a lot better than the individual stations, because several of the individual stations, weeks went by without even any information there about how to get a replacement ballot, and despite several requests from the Elections Committee. But okay, I guess that's an issue that we need to make sure that there's commitment to do this. I think Otis is very capable of doing it if he's given the time to do it. And told to do it.
Yeah,
that would be something for management to decide. If they have him busy doing other things, then he might not be able to do that. But I did talk to him, and he seemed to think that was feasible.
Okay, I'm sorry, I misstated when I said John.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay, does that answer your question or concern, Bonnie?
Is my concern answered? Not especially, but I understand what you're saying.
Okay. So we need assurances that it could be kept up to date.
This is Anthony. I have a guess about what's going on.
Yeah, go ahead, Anthony.
Well, probably once the LESs and NESs are done with their work, there's probably ambiguity about whose responsibility it is to keep that stuff on the website.
What do you mean? I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm thinking, since we agree it's important that the election information stay online, it's got to be designated as someone's responsibility.
Oh.
But
yeah.
Once the election is over, the LESs and the NES are done, so.
Yep, that's true. That's true, and it often all vanishes.
So it's probably an issue of responsibility falling through the cracks.
Well, you know, having it centralized in one place would make it much easier to keep reasonable archives. Because otherwise things just fall off.
Yeah.
I know others would like to get a lot more stuff up on Pacifica.org and get it up to date. But, yeah, somebody needs to decide that that's what he should be doing. Or somebody that should be doing it. And then they may be getting help if needed. Okay. Number 5 electronic voting online. No, we said we're not going to do that this year. Replacement ballots. We talked about maybe possibly contracting that out. I don't think we decided.
Oh, the replacement ballots? Well, I think it's a question of whether that Pacifica Central sort of ballot replacement request system exists. Because I think if you're going to put that ballot replacement thing in the 800 number and you're going to sort of put that in Odie's sort of thing, I mean, that's a big part of what the replacement ballot stuff is. It's logging all that stuff as it comes in and getting it out to the LASs for verification and getting it back and mailing it. I mean, it seems to me that if that's happening at Pacifica.org, that that's where the work's going to be done.
Okay.
Right?
So,
I mean,
so the,
am I missing something?
Everything's collected centrally. LESs would verify that the people requesting it are eligible to get replacement ballots and log that information, and then the question is who actually does the mailing of them?
Yeah. Well, if you have a contractor who's done the printing and the mailing, I mean, you could certainly just have them hold on to a body of ballots and send them orders to mail stuff out. A lot of mailing houses don't want to deal with first-class mail. You know, they do bulk. That's what they do.
Yeah.
But if you make that part of the contract that you give to someone is that they also need to keep these replacement ballots and mail them out, you could probably do that for about, you know, three-quarters of the balloting period. At the very end, you're going to be stuck, and you're going to have to be able to mail them locally because it's like 2 days before the deadline.
Okay.
And you just there's nothing else you can do. And people come by the stations, and they want to be handed a ballot.
Okay. So the process for recommending the elections committee is that we suggest putting having a commitment to have staff to maintain election material on one website, including replacement ballot requests, have a toll-free number that's managed by somebody else, I guess, but that be integrated in those requests with the online requests. Then the LESs have to approve the replacement ballot requests, and then a mailing house do the actual ballot replacement ballots mailings for the first three quarters or something like that.
If they're willing to, as part of you know the other stuff they're doing.
Okay. Again, trying to offload some of the work from the LES.
Yeah.
Is that okay, everybody?
I guess I don't get it. Why would you add another element to that? Doesn't it just make it easy to say, to give you another place where things can get confused and fall through cracks? I mean, I'm already concerned enough about any idea about some 800 number and Odie having to send information from Pacifica.org to 5 different stations, and then the 5 different stations working in, you know, whatever schedules and patterns mm-hmm. that each of them have established, having kind of a different schedule of when they're getting information to a vendor. Understanding the number of replacement ballots, but other than when we have a horrific mistake like there was in New York, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me that that's what we're having our vendor do.
Well, what Renee was speaking about earlier from PFW is that her concern or what she was, you know, wanting to put out there was that the LES in her station was not able to respond to the number of replacement ballot requests that there were and that there were issues with logging them and keeping track of them and getting answers to them and people got an answering machine all the time and there was no central tracking system and it was a problem. That basically having the LESs handle it locally wasn't working as far as she was concerned.
Well, I'm not going to argue.
Excuse me, this is Dan. I've got to run. So let me know when the next meeting is.
Okay, thanks, Dan. Next general meeting is next Monday.
Okay, all right.
For the whole committee.
On.
Thanks. Okay. Did you finish, Tracy, what you were saying?
Yeah, I was just trying to channel what Renee was saying and why we were heading this way in the conversation.
But what does telling, having the vendor at the very end of this process, which is already dependent now on another cog in the wheel, which is that Otis has to translate the information to the LES.
No.
The LES either does or doesn't do their job.
I,
what does adding a vendor to this to send out the ballot at the very end of this process solve?
Well, you have an online system, so people can send in their own ballot replacement requests. And theoretically, you write a program that sends them out directly to the NESs. There isn't really any extra step there. And they go into a database or a log of some kind. So there's a central log of all the requests that were made and what was done, and the dates at which they were sent to the LESs instead of coming into a voicemail box at KPFA with 59 messages in it and scribbling things on pieces of paper, which is the current system, as I understand it.
And when, as did happen with, anecdotally, a number of people that I know who were voting as listeners and never got return calls or got their ballots at the end of the day, when they've made their original foray, sent their original email, made their original call, whatever they did, and then they don't hear anything for weeks on end, will they be writing to Odie to bitch about that too?
I'm sorry, what did you say? I didn't hear the last few words.
I just don't think it's as smooth a process as you're making it. I think that if what happened last year, I don't see that you're correcting part of what was going on in the last couple of elections, which is that people were contacting the various LESs or the NES, asking for ballots when they would do them, and then never hearing anything. And then they would contact them again and not hear anything.
Right, because there was such a volume of calls and emails and no way to track if and how you were responding to them would be my guess why that happened. Because if, writing down 60 emails on a piece of paper means that people don't keep track of them well, because they run around and then they forget and then the piece of paper's gone and that's the end of that. I mean, there are some advantages to tracking the number of phone calls and recording what was done in response to each phone call or each web response.
Anybody else want to comment on this?
Don't think.
Other people want to comment on this? I'm not going to let everybody get a chance to talk about the problem of tracking replacement ballot requests and coming up with something to make it work better. Well, go ahead, I guess, Bonnie and Tracy.
I'm done.
No, I don't have anything else to say.
Okay. Well, do you have any other ideas, Bonnie, on how to better track them? Like Tracy was saying, there doesn't seem to be any real organized way of tracking the ballot replacement requests.
It seems ridiculous to me to have a faulty system that we haven't really thought through how to correct, but what we're doing is icing it by saying, but at the end of this entire faulty system, we'll have the vendor send the ballot. It just allows for another place. I feel like it's another place where you're just going to be able to blame somebody at the end of the line, when in fact they didn't really have anything to do with how flimsy it is.
Okay, so you're okay with having some sort of maybe computer database that would log the replacement ballot request, but not necessarily have a vendor actually do the mailing at the end.
I didn't know what that was solving.
Okay.
It may not solve anything, but I do think you have to have a tracking system, and that would help a lot. Because in a lot of cases, people did get replacement ballots mailed out. They didn't get them. There were address issues. There's stuff. There's reasons for things, and if you can't track all that, you get a sensation of chaos instead of a sensation of, you know, what has been done and what hasn't been done. And if an LES isn't responding to things that they need to be responding to, you need that documented.
I have no objection to a tracking system. I just hope it's one that works.
Right. Okay. So I guess we're going to recommend to the committee that we try to set some this sort of tracking system and make it easier to get replacement ballot requests by web and by phone. And then I guess we need to work this out, the details of the mailing with the NES and LESs.
Yeah, that might make the most sense. I don't know if it's something that's easier to centralize or harder to centralize. I think it depends.
Yeah. If there's something that would get it done and reduce the workload at the really peak time for the LESs, then that might be a good idea. But if it's just something else for them to do that they have to check up on, then maybe it wouldn't help. That's what you're thinking, Bonnie?
Pardon?
Is that what you're thinking? If it's just something else the LESs have to check up on because somebody else is doing it?
No, that's not what I was thinking.
And they fall through the cracks?
No, that's not what I was thinking.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, but I'm trying to put words in your...
I don't think the system we have works, and I think all we're doing is putting lipstick on it.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, I don't have the solution, but I confess to being incredibly cynical about this.
Oh. I think a lot of us are cynical about the replacement ballot request problems because it's continuing. Okay, well, this may get worked on and massaged later. If you come up with some more suggestions for how to improve the replacement ballot request situation, let us know. I mean, anybody on this call, please throw out any other suggestions you think of. Okay, moving on. Ready to move on. Let's see.
Well,
different color envelopes for the mailing, for the ballots and stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the last chunk of work is the counting.
Yeah.
Right? And all the things that go with the counting.
Yeah. Let's see.
And
I guess we didn't decide for sure whether to contract that out, but consider contracting out the counting?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people spoke in favor of it. That would basically mean that the chunk of work that you would look at contracting out would be the layout, proofing, printing, mailing, and then the collecting of the ballots and the counting. Which I think kind of makes sense, because I think those are the services that most collection companies offer. And all of the other stuff that we have to deal with, the database cleanup and the on-air forums and the fair campaign violations and the rest of it, probably fall outside of the set of sort of conventional services. So that probably makes some sense.
Any other comments, anybody? Again, we want to make people feel confident that it'll be done fairly and competently, I guess.
Yeah, which means I think we're stuck with the counting in every city, because I think people would get all freaked out if you didn't do it.
Yep.
Which,
anybody else?
You know, makes it expensive.
Okay. Now everybody think through the whatever problems occurred like during the counting at your station. Is there any reason why, if an election vendor was in charge, basically, I'm not sure exactly how they're going to divide up the responsibility between that person and the NES. Is there anything you can think of that why we might not want an election vendor involved with that?
Well, I think basically if this person is responsible for the counting process and also for the layout, proofing, and printing, then it's on them to make sure that the ballots that they print can be read by their scanners, can be fed into their software, and so on. So the particular problem that you had at KPFA shouldn't happen, theoretically. It doesn't mean the vendors can't screw up either, but theoretically it shouldn't happen. And hopefully you would write a contract that made sure that if it happened, there'd be consequences.
Yeah. That's a good point, too.
I don't know that we have people on the call from other stations with, you know, that had other problems. Maybe we do.
Okay.
Is there anyone from BAI on?
No, I don't believe so. I think most of their problems occurred before the ballot counting stage, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure.
I mean, I still think, to be honest, and I've said this before, just on a sort of a macro-type level, that we might be better served to clean up our databases, for one, and address a couple of other outstanding items before trying to write this out to a vendor, because I do think a lot of the things that are wrong in the system are also going to trip up a vendor, and I'm worried about the costs zooming out of control when they realize, for example, that the mailing lists aren't ready to go. That's a concern for me, and it was why I proposed that you're not really ready for a vendor until the next cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still kind of leaning that way, although, you know, we're obviously having this conversation. Because I'm not confident that you can get the lists up to speed in a month or two at all the stations. Well, 3 or 4 months, but...
Perhaps at some stations?
I don't think in general KPFA's lists are all that bad, and I think they know how to dedupe them. There are issues with the makeup of the staff list, but my guess is that those won't be quite as problematic this year.
Who else was trying to say something?
Yeah.
Bonnie.
I don't think so. I mean, you know, we'll see. Hopefully not. They have been a mess for a while. The rest of the, I mean, but some of the other stations have pretty awful database scenarios, right?
Yeah, KPFT had a bigger problem with the percentage-wise with the staff list. And I know that new staff registry that Otis has worked out, I think will help if you still have to have management commitment to get the data and to encourage people to provide their information.
I mean, KPFK, I think, is in reasonable shape. I could be wrong. I think the East Coast stations have some pretty serious list problems. So I know that there's lots of sentiment for contracting stuff out, but I am concerned about it.
Yeah, it's Peter talking with WPSW, and my understanding is WPSW's lists are in pretty rough shape, and I'm not even sure exactly how to go about straightening all that out.
Right.
Both staff lists and member lists?
What's that?
Both staff lists and member lists are in bad shape, listener lists?
I'm more familiar with the listener list.
Right, and Renee was suggesting that as well, that like people, you know, have gave pledges and they're not in the database. There's like real basic problems. It's not just things like duplicated addresses. So that's an argument for sort of, you know, spending this time cleaning all this up rather than rushing to contract it so it becomes somebody else's problem. And then going to a vendor, because the problem is when you give your problems to vendors, they charge you to solve them. You know, I'm afraid that if we go to Trubout or somebody, we could end up with, like, the world's biggest bill by the time they sort all this stuff out.
Okay. Maybe just if we have two contracts for specific things, like handling a toll-free number to handle get replacement ballot requests.
Yeah, I mean,
even that could be 100 names, or it could be 10,000 names, depending on.
Yeah, no, we could chop things up. I still think you can chop up the printing, the proofing, and the mailing, and just, you know, make that a task.
Yeah.
But this business of, you know, a vendor really like handling the problems, I'm a little skeptical at this point. Because basically, if you're a vendor, you're going to do what the NES did last year. You're going to say, okay, WPFW, send me your membership list. Or what he did to BAI. And you get a membership list. And, you know, it goes to the, and you mail it out. And then somebody says, oh my God, that's not the right list. Well, I mean, a vendor's not going to prevent that from happening any more than an NES is going to prevent it from happening. And theoretically, an NES should be more able to prevent it from happening.
Yeah.
Right? The problem is, you know, you're still paying the NES the same, even though they mail out all the ballots again. But a vendor, you're going to pay them twice as much.
Okay. I just realized we've been going on for 2 hours, so we need to end pretty soon.
Yeah, I got it.
I don't mind going on, but I know people on the East Coast, Peter, whoever else... I need to leave soon. So I guess maybe we'll leave that as something to be worked out with the NES. One other thing I forgot to mention, because it wasn't on the original RFP. We ended up thinking about this later, and then we did talk to the vendors that we interviewed. But the postcard issue as a cost-saving thing.
Oh, yeah.
Are we agreed that we want to try that? When we're doing the main deal was that a real high percentage of the cost was printing the pamphlets. These are... you know, multi-page pamphlets, depending on how many candidates there were, and mailing them. And so if you don't have to print and mail as many, then it would really reduce the costs. But we still want to have a way of, we want to encourage people to vote. We don't want to make it too many extra steps because it might discourage people from voting and keep us from reaching quorum. And we also want to be fair to people that don't have internet access. Does everybody know what I'm talking about with the postcard idea? We kind of talked about that last week briefly, or 2 weeks ago. Send a postcard to all members, and then I put that in my email that I sent this afternoon, and then encourage people to access the candidate information online so we wouldn't have to send the whole candidate pamphlet to everybody, but then have an easy way for them to request it by mail if they didn't have internet access or for whatever reasons, you know, wanted to get a paper copy. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah, I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually the biggest cost saving thing, I think, potential. The potential downside is that if some people mentioned, well, if you don't have a whole packet in front of you, some people may not be less likely to vote. Some people thought it might be more likely that they'd vote because if you keep all that information available online and it's easy to get a replacement ballot, just a single sheet, you know, paper,
yep.
That, you know, that might be easier. I don't know.
It partly depends on the timing, I think. It'd be nice if the postcards went out, say, a couple weeks before the ballots were due to go out. So then when the ballots go out, the ones with pamphlets and the ones without pamphlets go out together.
Yeah. You need to know how many things to print, so that's another reason you need to get that first.
Mm-hmm.
So if we sent the postcards out, say, in June, during the candidate application period, would that work?
When are the ballots going out?
August 15th. Candidate applications are June 1st to either June 30th or July 1st. There's an ambiguity in the bylaws there. Hmm. And then they have the LESs and the NES work like crazy to get all the ballot information ready and to the mailing house.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely worth a trial run. I mean, if it depresses your election turnout, you have to consider that. But you should definitely find out, because it theoretically reduces the cost by a whole bunch.
Yeah, you could probably send 2 or 3 postcards for the same price or less than you sent the whole, you know, candidate package to everybody.
Probably.
This is considering that, you know, probably no more than 20% of people would vote anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And all the rest of them are going to get thrown away. And of those 10 to 20% who vote, you know, some percentage, maybe over half, would choose getting their information electronically anyway.
And there are advantages there because you can have them put their email address on the postcard, and that will amplify your station's mailing list for, you know, whatever kinds of online promotions and newsletters and all the rest of it that the stations do. In other words, getting up-to-date email address information from people that are interested enough to vote has lots of benefits.
Okay.
You know, you can use that afterwards for outreach of various kinds.
And this is the kind of thing, again, that we might consider contracting out, especially if people had to return the postcards to somewhere, and there'd be some manual entry of people who actually requested the paper, to hold complete paper packages.
Well, those could have barcodes on them, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. And they have pre-printed names and addresses. Okay. So we agree we'll try to recommend this? Not necessarily transact it out?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I feel a little unclear about whether, you know, how what we're suggesting being contracted out works with what an NES is doing, and a little bit unclear if we're actually going to save any money this way. But I think it's worth exploring.
Yeah, and I don't have I don't have any of the cost figures from Les yet. But I know the vendor proposals we saw last year, the printing and mailing was a real substantial part of it.
Okay, good. Okay, so the postcard might cut that down. And that's a big chunk of, you know, of the work altogether.
Okay, so we'll put that in our recommendations to the committee. Any other recommendations we want to make, anybody? Remember, we have a whole committee meeting next Monday. So, Tracy, if you want to just send your notes to everybody who's on this call, I've got the names if you don't have them, and then we can all review them before the meeting and then send it out to the committee. If you can get those rough ones out maybe in the next day or two, is that possible?
Yeah, I can do that. If you can give me the list of everybody on the call, on the committee, I guess it should go to the whole committee. But I can send those out tomorrow.
Why don't we get the rough notes just to the people on this call, and then we'll send them out to the committee if that's okay.
Of course.
So we had Wesley, me, Peter, Dan, Bonnie, Tracy, Anthony, and Renee.
Okay.
All right.
I'm writing that down now. Sorry.
Email me or call me later if you missed that. Okay, anybody else have anything then that we need to discuss as a work group? So we assume we don't need another meeting for this work group unless we decide otherwise at the general meeting next week?
I don't think we need to schedule an immediate meeting. I thought that part of the work that we were going to do was also sort of get the RFP in shape for a 2011 bidding process.
Oh, yes, okay.
Which probably involves like the online voting piece and some other stuff.
Yes, right, okay.
So I'm guessing at some point in the future we might have to reconvene the committee to do that, but I don't think it's like time sensitive.
Okay.
Or anything like that.
Does that sound reasonable, everybody? Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you, everybody. And thanks, Bonnie, for sharing your insights, even though you're sort of retired from this committee now, huh?
I am retired from governance.
Okay. All right, well.
And clearly misses it.
Well, I guess we'll watch your emails and check the notes, and then we'll send any corrections or additions, and then we'll get them out to the whole committee in advance of the meeting next Monday.
Okay, I think I've got the list of all the people on the committee that you gave me verbally, Bill, so I'll send it to all those people, and if I missed anyone, just correct me, and I'll add them.
Great. Great. Appreciate you taking the notes. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on the call.
Bye.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye. Good night.